then the blessing will always end up winning and coming out of it. I don't know how many of you, I put a little post on Facebook of a tree I saw yesterday. It had grown out from under this rock ledge, and the rocks just kept coming out like this, and this tree had grown out from under that, finally turned up, and then grew, ended up being a very pretty good-sized tree. But I stood there looking at that, thinking about how challenging it was for that tree to get there and to actually overcome the things that had tried to stop it. But not only did the tree grow out from under all those rocks and end up prospering, but I looked and the tree had actually grown into the rock and made the rock its anchor and was hanging on to the rock. The thing that tried to stop it actually ended up being its stability. And, you know, we in life, if we let things conquer us, then we don't accomplish anything. But if we realize that God is building us and building us with strength, and those things that we've overcome are not things that have taken away from our life, but things that have made us better, things that have increased our life. Amen. There would be a lot fewer shocked or what would you call it? Well, I heard the term PTSD a while ago. There's a lot of that. There would be a lot fewer people overwhelmed in this life if they would understand that the things that they face, the things that have come against them, are a purifying force, not a conquering force. It just simply makes you better if you want it to make you better. If not, it just makes you bitter. And we have millions and millions and millions of bitter people today. And it's because they chose to decide that they were done wrong instead of saying, I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to conquer this. Amen. Anyway, that's a whole different subject. We've been discussing or talking about or preaching, whatever term you want to use, about faith, the conquering faith, the faith that doesn't give in, the faith that doesn't quit. We talked last Sunday about faith that doesn't diminish because of things that happen and what I was just talking about. And that type of faith is a faith that is established in God and not in this world. This world has no stability. People have no stability. There are always things that are going to be shocks to it. We're going to be shocked with about things. People are going to dismay us and make us wonder, you know, who can you trust in this world and all this kind of stuff. And if you succumb to that, you end up being a very miserable person, because you slowly implode and just keep imploding and diminishing until your life becomes so small that everything in life is too big for you. Amen. But if you let God expand you instead of just shrinking, then after a while you realize that this world is inferior to you simply because of who lives inside of you. We don't have the ability to do it, but the one inside of us has the ability to do it. The power of problems is being able to reduce you to the size of the problem. You don't live in that little circle. Wish I had to. Several years ago, I preached a message on that, and I had a picture up here of this big, big circle. And I put in all the blessings and the bigness of God in this big circle. And then right in the middle, I put this little tiny black dot with an arrow pointing to it and said, the size of your problem. When you realize the size of your problem is this big in a world that God's created that is huge and enormous, then you realize that that's really a very uncomfortable place to live. to be reduced to the size of your problem. When you refuse to be reduced to the size of your problem and you insist on getting back out in the bigness of God's world, then your problem begins to look really small. It no longer is overwhelming to you. Amen. It's all in perspective. Overwhelming. When you're underneath something looking up, it looks overwhelming. When you're above something looking down, you feel that it's inferior to you. You are overwhelming. So it's all in your perspective of where you're viewing things from. And the Bible says that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we need to stop looking at it from being under the feet of this world and start realizing that everything is under His feet, and we are the body and He is the head, and we're seated with Him in heavenly places. Therefore, we have the perspective, if we want it, of God's view of what's going on. And when we have His view of what's going on, then everything becomes manageable. Amen. I don't know about you, but 2018 started off, the word I had before 2018 was forward motion. Ever since 2018 hit, it has been nothing but one problem after another. I mean, huge problems, you know, huge things. They're just devastating things happening. And you think, well, how can I move forward in this? You know, it looks to me like everything's going down instead of going up. But that's my perspective, looking at it from the bottom up. But when I climb back up on the knee of my Father God, my Papa, and I look at it, then I begin to realize, hey, this isn't anything. It's not that big. Amen. Praise God. It's not insurmountable. Because my Father has the ability to take control of this thing. Amen. He can do it. Yesterday, I took my grandson out for what we call adventures. And we go in the woods, and you know, I've got him this little adventure belt, and it's got binoculars and tools and knives. And we go out in the woods, and he chops on trees, and he's got a little axe that's so dull you couldn't cut your finger off if you wanted to. And he beats on trees with that thing, and he cuts limbs, and he gets his binoculars out and stuff, and we have these big adventures. The last week he had the flu all week, and so he was still pretty weak, but he wanted to have an adventure so bad yesterday. So we went out, we petted the horses and all kinds of stuff, and then we went over the backside of the hill, and he was planning on going over to the pond. You know, he's got all these things he has to do. But we got over on the backside of this hill, and it's really a steep hill, real steep. And we went down to where these rocks are, and he always wants to go visit Papa's prayer rock, because there's a rock down on the backside of this hill that protrudes out. And several years ago, and I still get down there as much as I can, but several years ago, I would go and I'd sit on that rock that overlooks this big valley, and that's where I'd pray. And so I explained that to him and showed it to him. So he always has to go and sit on Papa's prayer rock for a little bit and talk about it. And we get down there, and he'd had the flu, and, you know, he was weaker than he thought. And we got down there, and he was climbing around, and he sat down, and pretty soon he said, "Papa, I just need to go home." And he had just run out of strength. And so I said, "Okay." And we started back up the hill. And I noticed that he was just barely making it. He was grabbing hold of trees, trying to pull them, and he just couldn't make it. It was too big. How many has ever been in that place in life? It just seems too much. And I noticed he was really struggling. And I said, "Here, buddy." And I got down on my knees. I said, "Get on my back." And he climbed up on my back, and which was a real struggle for Papa, because he's getting heavy and I'm getting older. And so I started up this steep hill carrying him, and I carried him all the way to the top of the hill. And when we got to the top of the hill, he said, "Okay, Papa, I can make it." And so I let him down. How many times does our Heavenly Father, if we would just realize, he's just waiting there. He's getting down on his knees and he says, "Come on, just climb on. Climb on, I'll carry you up this hill." You don't have to try at do it yourself. Amen. And sometimes we need to just stop and say, Papa, I can't make it. I need your help. And we just need to climb on, and he'll carry us. He'll get us there. Amen. If we can just connect to God in such a relationship that we trust him, that because we know him. Amen. Israel didn't have any doubts that I would just leave him there. That never even crossed his mind. He never even thought about it. He didn't look at me and say, Papa, I can't make it. Are you going to help me? No. If we could just, this is not where I was going, but if we could just get a relationship with God, a knowing, loving relationship with God, where we would quit saying, are you going to just leave me here? And realize that he's not leaving you. He's on his knees waiting for you to crawl on his back. Man, I'm talking to somebody this morning. Amen. That just came out. Praise God. We gotta know him. I'm going to bring that right into the message that I'm going to be preaching. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. We're going to go back to 1 John. The book of 1 John, chapter 5, and verse 4. We've been reading this scripture every week. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Amen. You know what I get out of that every time I read it? I was born overcoming. I was born an overcomer. I was born a conqueror. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory. Amen. Is, not might be, this is the victory that has, past tense, overcome the world, our faith. Faith, in most places where the word faith is used, this is the definition of it. A firm persuasion. A firm persuasion. You can't have a firm persuasion unless you are committed to what you're persuaded of. Amen. I am absolutely, firmly persuaded that this pew right here is made out of wood. You can't talk me out of it. You can't persuade me otherwise. Nobody could convince me. Hey, Addie. Old Grandpa's awful proud sitting there. You can't convince me. Nobody could convince, no matter what you do, nobody convinced me that this pew right here is not made out of solid oak. Wood. Amen. Don't even try. If I could be that persuaded in my Heavenly Father, come on, somebody. People are going to try to talk you out of it. Science is going to try to get you not to believe in him. Amen. I like what my little grandson, I'm talking about him a lot today. We had our grandkids this weekend. They teach me so much when we've got them. And he was watching, he loves documentaries. I mean, the kid is unusual. He loves watching documentaries and about animals and volcanoes and all this kind of stuff. He doesn't like normal kid stuff. He likes watching these documentaries. And we were watching a natural, he wanted to watch the 30th yesterday is what he said. And the 30th is a 30-year anniversary of National Geographic, and it shows all kinds of stuff over 30 years. And so we're watching that, and they start talking about evolution. And he's laying there watching this, and pretty soon he starts talking to the television. And they're talking about evolution, and all of a sudden he just speaks up and he says, I know all about that. You don't need to understand it. He said, what you need to understand is we don't know how God made us. That's what we need to understand. We don't know how God made us. He's not talking to me. He's talking to the television. He's letting them know that you're not going to convince me of that stuff. He's 7 years old. You're not going to convince me of that. I know God made us. It's just you don't understand how he did it. You know, that's what he was saying. And I'm sitting there saying, come on. Amen. You evolutionists, just try to take him on. Amen. He can debate with anybody. If he can debate with a TV that's not even talking back to him, he can debate with anybody. But that firm persuasion, do I know God well enough that I am firmly persuaded? Faith is not a hope so in a God that might exist and you hope exists. Faith is an absolute firm persuasion that couldn't be taken away from you no matter what happened. It's not possible to take it away from you. It is something that is fixed into your DNA, and you're not going to let go of it because you're the only one that can. Amen. You're the only one that can. There's been times that I've faced things in life that I could not understand, losses that I couldn't wrap my mind around. And you know what I finally come to? When I start, all the questions start coming to my mind. How could this happen? What I've come to realize that we're a little bit ignorant. And for us to try to get God to explain something to us, we're just showing our ignorance because we're trying to be God in a finite state. One day, I will understand everything. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of y'all that you know, if you feel like you know it all now, just wait. You're actually going to be a know-it-all one of these days. Amen. You're going to know everything. And so when I come to that point, I have a statement that I finally come to, and when all the questions start coming, when everything starts bothering me, and I start trying to figure out what in the world was going on and why didn't this happen, I stop that and I say, nope, not going there. Just not going there. That is a quagmire that you can't dig yourself out of because you are trying to understand the fascinating, overpowering, overwhelming knowledge and awesomeness of God from a position that is totally blind to everything around you except what has been made illuminated to you in the areas that you've... Our understanding is so minute. It's infinitesimal. Is that a word? It come out, so it must be a word. If I said it, it's a word. Webster's will catch on. Our understanding is so little in the scheme of life that I have got to the place where I refuse to ask questions on earth that can only be answered in heaven. But one question I can answer is that, do you believe in God? And I can answer with an absolute, yes, I do. Without any reservation, I believe in God. So if we understand God, if we know God, then what is it we know about him? Because see, it's what you know about him that determines your faith. If you see God in through the eyes of man and through the eyes of experience with man, then your God is going to be a very awful God. Amen. He's going to be a deserting God. He's going to be a God that will leave you. You know, all my life growing up in Pentecostal church, I don't know if this is widespread everywhere else, but what I heard growing up caused me to wonder about, I mean, I had this feeling that God would abandon me because I kept hearing this, that if you grieve the Holy Spirit, he will leave you. And I've had people that didn't get their way in this church walk out of the church and tell people and declare it sometimes as they're walking out, the Spirit of God has departed from this church. The funny thing is, he keeps showing up. Why? Because Holy Spirit is a determined warrior, not a scared little wimp that can't take your rejection. He will fight longer than you will. He will stay longer than you'll stay, and he will overcome more than you could ever hope to overcome just to stay. We sung about it just a few minutes ago. Overwhelming, everlasting. If we can just get that concept of God, he's not going to just run off and leave you. He will discipline you. But he won't leave you. Amen. A loving God disciplines us. Just like a loving parent will discipline their child. It doesn't mean they hate their child. It doesn't mean they dislike them. It means they love them because they want to form their behavior in a right way. Amen. This nonsense that came into America a few years ago that we're suffering from right now, that, oh, you don't want to break their little spirits. I got to tell you something. You want to break it and remold it. Their little spirits will do everything that is not right, and they will self-destruct. People will self-destruct if they don't know how to control themselves. Discipline is not for the parent. Discipline is for the child. It's to teach them how to control themselves, how to discipline themselves so that they will be successful in life. Can we just stay here all day? I got too much going on in my heart. I didn't get any amens there, but we'll do it anyway. Last night, I know I'm going to talk about my grandkids all day because, you know, I spent a lot of time with them. Last night, Aria, my little princess, my little beauty, she was at Nana's day spa yesterday. And she got her nails done, she got her toenails done, she got a facial, she got her hair done, Nana just takes on over, and she just like this. You know, she just almost limp because Nana's just loving on her and stuff. And the look on her face, she has this serene look on her face during that time. It's just like, you know, I'm safe and everything. And after you know, Nana spent a lot of time with her, I looked at her and I said, "Oh, Sissy, you're so beautiful." She says, "I know." Why does she say that? Not because she's conceited. It's because I've convinced her of it. I tell her that all the time. You know, I tell her that you're just so beautiful. She'll say, "I know." We've convinced her, you know. But last night, my little princess, you know, evil come out in her. And I told her to quit doing something, and she wouldn't quit. She wanted Israel's pillow that he had had for a while, and so she's trying to take it. And he kept telling her no, and so she started hitting him in the face and trying to take it, and I told her to stop. My princess. I told her, I said, "You stop that." And she looked right at me and just kept hitting him and saying, "Mine," and trying to take it away. And I said, "I mean, stop it now. I mean, I might be a doting papa, but when disobedience comes into play, I'm not nice. I don't care who you are. Life's going to end if this doesn't stop. And she didn't stop, and so I stood up and started toward her and probably had the look on my face that my boys hated. They called it the look. And I headed toward her, and she stepped back and started crying and said, "I want my mom." I said, "Your mom's not here, but you're going to straighten up and do what I tell you." And I grabbed her up and went over and sat down on the couch, set her on my lap, and grabbed, you know, this is Papa, grabbed her pillow, and I said, "Here, this is your pillow." And I cuddled her all up in that pillow, and in a few minutes, she was sound asleep. How could she go to sleep in the arms of somebody that had just scared the life out of her and got onto her? Because she knew me. She knew me. And she knew that I did not mean her harm, and so there was no separation. Man, if we can only get there with our relationship with God. I am not even getting to the verses that I had. That relationship let's go to verse 7 here in 1 John and chapter 4 and verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." I want you to let that sink in. Everyone who knows God knows what? Love. Everyone who knows God knows love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. When you're able to embrace that concept, it doesn't mean that God will just let you get by with everything. A parent or a grandparent that lets children or grandchildren get by with everything does not love that child. You love your feelings of that child, but you do not love that child. Because if you love that child, you will not allow that type of behavior because you know it's detrimental to them. Amen. You don't let a grandchild just eat all the candy they want. That's not love. It's detrimental. Amen. So we got to stop loving our concept of grandchildren and our feelings of grandchildren and start loving them. And when you love them, you bring discipline into their life. You form them. You help form their lives. God is no different. His love is everlasting. His love is overwhelming. And therefore, He is always embracing us, but sometimes that embrace has discipline involved in it. And He says, "No, we're not going to do that." Amen. But He doesn't shove you away until you straighten up. Anybody that's been in this church very long knows that I am very outspoken on this thing of sending kids to the room. When they get in trouble, do not send that child to the room. They will invent cuss words you never heard of. It's not going to do them any good. All it's doing is doing you some good. Parent, when you send a child that is misbehaving to their room, what you're saying is, "I just don't want to deal with you right now. I want you away from me." And that child feels the separation. They go in the room and they cuss you. They call you all kinds of names. They beat up their pillows and they imagine what they would like to do to that mean parent that just separated from them. Amen. You can disagree with me if you want to. Up to you. What you should do, I don't know why I'm talking about kids today. Probably because God has to deal with us as children. What you need to do is discipline that child and make them sit right there beside you. And if their behavior continues to get bad, you deal with it until it's over with. You don't separate from them. Because separating from them teaches them that the cure for all problems is just to get away from that person. And so we have a divorce mentality in our country that says if it's not going good, get away from it, separate from it. When actually, The only way to change the problems is to deal with them and to go back to relationship that is greater than the problem. Amen. Relationship has to always stay greater than the disappointment and the problem. Amen. When my boys were growing up, I never allowed them to leave. When I had to discipline them, no matter what happened, they had to stay right there with me, in the room with me, and their behavior was monitored by me until they decided that they were going to behave right. Because you don't just discipline a child, and if you don't change their mind, if you don't change their mindset, you haven't done any good. Discipline is changing the mindset, the way that they think. It's not just punishment. Punishment is not something that we should go to first. It is changing. Punishment is when nothing else is getting their attention. I'm trying to give you a concept of how God sees this. God does not enjoy punishment. And yet the church has preached punishment more than love. We have preached a punishing God. He's going to punish you for that. Well, if he does punish you for that, it's going to be with his arms wrapped around you and making you sit on his lap until you get your head straightened out. He's not going to run away from you. For several years, when I first started preaching, and this is a terrible thing, for years, I believed that if I didn't get things right, God was going to throw me away. He was going to reject me because I'd heard that. It was ingrained in me. I felt like if I didn't get things just right, if I didn't do it just right, Holy Spirit was going to be upset with me, and he would leave me until I decided to get it right, until I could perform correctly. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about because I believe it. And for years as a pastor, that's how I operated. And the crazy thing is there was just a certain amount of people in the church that would never let me get it right. I was always failing and could never get there. And so I always felt like I was under judgment. And I was never going to be able to succeed. I was never going to get this thing. It felt like, you know, I was going to be punished no matter what happened. I was going to be punished. And then the verse of you'll be held to a higher, judgment. You know, if you're a preacher, you're going to be held to a higher judgment. And I got to the place where I thought, man, there's no way to do this. And the reason is because I didn't know the God I was preaching about. I didn't have a good relationship with it. I had a relationship built through man's perspective and not a relationship built by one-on-one interaction and understanding who he was. But one day, I finally got it, and the revelation started coming to me, and I began to realize that God loves me, and I can't stop him from loving me. Nothing I do can stop him from loving me. And instead of making me want to just go out and sin, because nothing I can do can make God stop loving me, instead, I wanted to run to him and embrace him, because love like that is a treasure. You want to embrace love like that, not run from it, not try to come up with justifications for why you're sinning or why you're doing stuff, and well, God's not going to throw me away, so it doesn't matter. That is a spoiled brat mentality. That's a trust fund child that thinks they deserve everything and nobody can withhold anything from them. That's not what we are. We are children birthed into an overcoming power that causes us to rise above the awfulness of this world and become who God has called us to become and make us who he wants us to be in the love of God. If we can begin to invest in understanding God's love. I remember when I got this revelation, I was praying one day. It's a good thing to do. I was praying one day, and I was actually right here. I was frustrated. I felt like a failure. I felt like there was no hope. I was trying to figure out how to get this thing right, how to measure up to Jesus. That phrase should have caught you, because it's impossible to measure up to Jesus. I can't act like a Christian. If I'm acting like a Christian, it means I'm not one, but I'm trying to be one. It means I haven't received the seed of God inside of me that has birthed the power and ability. So I'm not going to try to act like a Christian. I'm just going to let Christ begin to form in me, because he has the power. I was walking around this auditorium, because I can't just be still a lot of times. And I was walking around this auditorium praying. And I got right to here, and I was praying about this thing. Man, I was just, you know, I was just distraught. And I was praying about it, and I got right to here, and the Holy Spirit said something to transform my life. He said, "Why do you think you're more powerful than God?" And I just stopped, and I said, "That's kind of opposite of what I've been talking about." You know, I've been praying about the fact that this thing, you know, it's just not happening. And he said, "You think you're more powerful. You think you're powerful enough to change God." And I said, "No, I don't." He said, "What is God's characteristic?" I really couldn't answer that. And he took me to 1 John, and he said, "God," and I saw that, "God is love." And he said, "You think you're so powerful that you can literally change God's nature." And at that point, I realized that all I had to do was just accept who he was and stop trying to perform for him. Because I was birthed into this thing, and I'm going to be this thing. No matter what happens, this is who I am. Come on, somebody. Amen. Praise God. I wasn't born into this thing, and then God later say, "Well, you know, I think I'll change. I think, you know, I think I'll make him this," or "I think I'm making." No, I was birthed into this thing. You were birthed into this, and when you were birthed, the characteristics of God was birthed inside of you. The things he wanted you to have was birthed inside of you. And God's wanting to see those things come out. We think that God's job, or all God wants to do, is just keep us in line. When that is minuscule, a minuscule part of what God is about. What God is about is helping you develop who you are, not just trying to keep you in line. Because when you're invested in who you are, God doesn't have to try to keep you in line. Amen. You keep yourself in line. His power keeps you in line. Amen. I'm not even going to get to the topic that I was going to preach on this morning. We'll do that next Sunday. To know God, to have faith that cannot be quenched by the devil, cannot be put out by this world, cannot be overcome by people, to have a faith that will not leave has to be seated in your understanding of the nature of God. I know that he's all powerful. Oh, thank God for that. I know that he's all powerful. But I know that he's all powerful enough to love me beyond anything. And I respect him. The Old Testament says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I've got to tell you something. Fear, the fear of God is not a fear that he's going to just destroy me if I don't get things right. The fear of God is a respect and an awe that says, "I love being in the family of God because he is amazing. He is awesome." Amen. He's all powerful. And I know that many of you here today need things in your life, and you need an all-powerful God. I was on the way to work this week. I was praying, and I said, "God, you know, I've been praying for the work in Rwanda, and I get calls all the time from people that are suffering in other parts of the world and here needing money, something that I have very little of." But it's always, and I was telling God, I said, look, you know that I need a lot of finances. And I changed myself. I said, you know that you need a lot of finances because your people are suffering. I just want to be a part. I just want to be your hands extended. You put it in my hands and I'll transfer it to where it needs to be. But then I said, God, that's just a small part. But I said, your people are needing a creative God to perform miracles. Because money can't buy that stuff. Money can't change lives. It can do a little bit, but it can't change lives. It can bring some relief, but it can't change lives. But the healing power of Jesus Christ, the awesome transforming power of God can change lives. And last Sunday, my dad fell and hurt himself really bad. I told him the other day I was going to start wrapping him in bubble wrap every day so he'd bounce. He falls a lot. But he won't quit. You know, thank God. He gets back up. One of the things I've always admired about my dad is he doesn't just lay down. He doesn't quit. He hasn't quit in his whole life. He just gets back up and keeps moving, keeps trying. And just as sure as he has a good day, you'll see him out of that house in the yard trying to get something done, trying to work. He might fall down and have to crawl all the way back to the house because he can't get up. You know, I've fallen. I can't get up. Well, crawl, because that's what Dad does. He crawls all the way back to the house, crawls up the steps, gets himself in the house. He's all torn. He'll have cuts and stuff all over him, but he did it. You know what I'm talking about? Well, he tripped and fell the other day. And the walker that he's supposed to use all the time was sitting there. And when he tripped and fell, he reached to grab that walker. Well, all that did was take his arm up around because he kept going down it, and it just took his arm back up around and injured his shoulder, injured his elbow. And so he was in a lot of pain, couldn't use his arm. You know, he come last Sunday with a sling on his arm because he was hurting so bad, couldn't sleep because it was in a lot of pain. And I'd prayed for him and stuff, and mostly I just tease him. You know, I'd say, I'm bringing bubble wrap. I'm just going to start putting bubble wrap around you. Last Sunday, he came up here, and Steve and JoBeth prayed for him. And by the end of the service, he had absolutely no pain in that arm, completely healed. And he's been pain-free all week. It was just gone. All of a sudden, he could raise his arm. He couldn't even use it. And now, after service, he could raise his arm and move it. And I mean, that's when you hear things like that. I've been doing this all my life, and yet I still go, whoa, because it was like that. It was just gone. The pain was just gone. You know what I'm talking about? If you've ever, I know some of y'all have received that. You've experienced that. When all of a sudden it's just, whoa, it's gone. That's the awesomeness of God. That's the love of God. It's not that he's wanting to withhold. I don't have time to get into this. But God loves you. I just want to say, if we could invest in just trying to understand the nature of God a little better, our faith would be a little stronger. Amen. Because we would be connected to somebody that we trusted. And we knew that he's not going to just throw us away. He's not going to just get rid of us because we've done wrong. Amen. But he's going to do like I did Aria last night. She might have been up and she was mad at me. She was offended. I mean, she was very upset at Papa because I got on to her. That's like the most unnatural thing that she can imagine is her Papa getting on to her. And yet it happens. But she was mad. She was upset. She was disobedient. She didn't want me. She wanted her mom. But she sat on my lap until she calmed down and then just went to sleep. How many of us need to just let God curl us up when we've done wrong, even when we're pouty, and just let God embrace us until we finally just let it go and go to sleep in his arms and say, God, I know you're here. Stand with me if you would today. God, I know you're here. I have so enjoyed preaching on this. We're going to continue. I was thinking yesterday, you know, you've heard that thing, you know, I didn't choose this, it chose me. That's the thought I had about these messages I've been preaching. This hasn't even been in my mind. Matthew chapter 7 and all that hadn't even been in my mind. And all of a sudden, at 9 o'clock in the morning, two Sundays ago, right before church, I was still praying, God, what do you want to deliver? What do you want to speak? Because I can't just prepare a message. I pray for God. This is the words I used to say, God, I need, give me a word that needs to be heard today. And I pray that until I feel like I've got it. And it was 9 o'clock Sunday morning 2 weeks ago, and I still didn't have that word. I'd done a lot of studying and reading, but I still didn't have that thing, that word. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just took me straight to Matthew chapter 7, and it just birthed inside of me. I didn't choose this. It chose us. And God is trying to get a message across to this church. That there is a faith that transcends this world and our experiences. And there is a God that is worthy of that faith. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, God, for your ability. Lord, I know of so many situations right here in this small congregation, Lord God, that, Father, we need to connect to, and we need to latch on to that everlasting, unwavering love of God. And Father, I thank you for that. Lord, we receive that today, and I ask you, Lord God, just to fill us, Lord, with the knowledge of your will. Fill us with the knowledge of your character, the knowledge of who you are. Father, help us to understand that when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we call it the love chapter. What we're actually reading is an overview of your personality and your character. And Father, I just ask today that your love would just manifest in people's lives right now. Sicknesses and diseases, I command you now to leave in Jesus' name. Lord, I accept your healing anointing in our lives. God, we just receive it right now. Father, we choose to worship you, and we receive your love. God, just fill us, saturate us with your love today. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for it. God, I praise you for this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lives all over this congregation, Father God. I just ask you, Lord, just begin to manifest. Just your love, just begin to raise up inside of us today. Help us just to receive who you are in Jesus' name. You need to realize that God is with you. He's right there, right now. If you're sick in your body, I want you to just lay your hands on your own body. Just lay your hands on your own body and say, God, thank you that you love me. And I thank you, Lord God, that your healing power is alive and active inside of me right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Infirmities, how dare you touch the child of God. Sicknesses, how dare you latch on to the children of God. We're the temples of the Holy Ghost. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. You are trespassing on private property. This is God's property and you're a trespasser. Now get out of God's property. You're evicted in the name of Jesus. Now leave. Leave God's premises right now. You do not belong here. You're not of God. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we bless your name today. Rich and free. God isn't trying to punish you. He's trying to redeem you. I just want you to give those to God today. Just say, God, I know these things aren't pleasing to you that are in my life, God. I just yield them to you. I lay them at the foot of the cross. Thank you for loving me through this, Lord God. Thank you for loving me in spite of it. But God, I also know that your love is overpowering and will deliver me from these things, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just lay it at your feet right now. Come on. Let it go. Let it go. Thank you, Father. Lord, we lay down offense. We lay down habits. We lay down things that are, Lord, that are displeasing, that are injuring us. Father, we just embrace your spirit. We embrace your love today. In Jesus' name.